The following title is called The Sincere Convert. Thomas Shepard originally published in 1646. This is chapter 5. That those that are saved are very few, and that those that are saved with very much difficulty. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Here are two parts. The small number of them that shall be saved, few, find a way there, and the difficulty being saved, straight narrow is the way and gate to life. Hence arise two doctrines, that the number of them that shall be saved is very small. Luke 13:24, the devil has his drove. And swarms go to hell, as fast as bees to their hive. Christ has his flock, and that is but a little flock. So God's children are called jewels, which commonly are kept secret, in respect to the other lumber in the house. Hence they are called strangers and pilgrims, which are very few in respect of the inhabitants of the country through which they pass. Hence they are called sons of God, 1 John 3:2, of the blood royal, which are few in respect of common subjects. See the truth of this point in these two things. First, look to all ages and times of the world. Secondly, to all places and persons in the world, and we shall see few men were saved. First, look to all ages, and we shall find but a handful saved. As soon as ever the Lord began to keep house, and there were but two families in it, there was a bloody Cain living and a good Abel slain. And as the world increased in number, so in wickedness, Genesis 6:12, it is said, all flesh had corrupted their ways. And amongst so many thousand men, not one righteous, but Noah and his family. And yet there crept in a cursed Ham. Afterwards, as Abraham's posterity increased, so we see their sin abounded. When his posterity was in Egypt, where one would think if ever men were good, now it would appear, being so heavily afflicted by Pharaoh, being by so many miracles miraculously delivered by the hand of Moses, yet most of these God was wroth with. Hebrews 3:12, and only two of them, Caleb and Joshua, went into Canaan, a type of heaven. Look into Solomon's time. What glorious times, what great profession was there then. Yet, after his death, 10 tribes fell to the odious sin of idolatry, following the command of Jeroboam, their king. Look further into Isaiah's time, when there were multitudes of sacrifices and prayers. Isaiah 1:11. Yet then there was but a remnant, nay, a very little remnant that should be saved. And look to the time of Christ coming in the flesh, for I pick out the best time of all, when one would think by such sermons he preached, such miracles he wrought, such a life as he led, all the Jews would have entertained him. Yet it is said he came to his own, and they received him not. So few. The Christ himself admires that one good Nathanael, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. In the apostles' time, many indeed were converted, but comparatively few. And amongst the best churches, many are bad. Is that at Philippi, Philippians 3:18? Many had a name to live, but were dead. And few only kept their garments unspotted. And presently, after the apostles' time, many grievous wolves came and devoured the sheep. And so in succeeding ages, Revelation 12:9, all the earth wondered at the whore in scarlet. And in Luther's time, when the light began to arise again, he saw so many carnal gospelers that he breaks out in one sermon into these speeches, God grant, I may never live to see those bloody days that are coming upon an ungodly world. Hugh Latimer heard so much profaneness in his time that he thought verily doomsday was just at hand. And if not, our ears heard censoring those in the Palatinate, whereas it is reported many have fallen from the glorious gospel to popery as fast as leaves fall in autumn. Who would have thought there had lurked such hearts under such a show of detesting popery as was among them before? And at Christ's coming shall he find faith on the earth. Number 2. Let us look into all places and persons and see how few shall be saved. The world is now split into four parts: Europe, Asia, Africa, and America. And the three biggest parts are drowned in a deluge of profaneness and superstition. They do not so much as profess Christ. You may see the sentence of death written on these men's foreheads, but let us look upon the best part of the world, and that is Europe. How few shall be saved there. First, the Grecian church. Howsoever now in these days their good patriarch of Constantinople is about a general reformation among them, and has done much good, yet are they for the present, and have been for the most part of them without the saving means of knowledge. They content themselves with their old superstitions, having little or no preaching at all, and for the other parts is Italy, Spain, France, Germany. For the most part they are popish, and see the end of these men, 2 Thessalonians 2:9-12. And now, amongst them that carry the badge of honesty, I will not speak what mine ears have heard and my heart believes concerning other churches. I will come into our own church of England, which is the most flourishing church in the world. Never had church such preachers, such means, yet have we not some chapels and churches stand as dark lanterns without light, where people are led with blind or idle or licentious ministers, and so both fall into the ditch? Nay, even amongst them that have the means of grace, but few shall be saved. It may be sometimes amongst 99 in a parish Christ sends a minister to call someone lost sheep among them. Matthew 13. Three grounds were bad where the seed was sown, and only one good. It is a strange speech of John Chrysostom in his fourth sermon to the people of Antioch, where he was much beloved and did much good. How many do you think, he says, shall be saved in this city? It will be a hard speech to you, but I will speak it. Though here be many so thousands of you, yet there cannot be found 100 that shall be saved. And I doubt of them too. For what villainy is there among youth? What sloth in old men? And so he goes on. So I say, never tell me we are baptized and are Christians and trust to Christ. Let us but separate the goats from the sheep, and exclude none but such as the Scripture does, and sets a cross upon their doors with Lord of mercy on them, and we shall see only a few in the city shall be saved. Cast out all the profane people among us, as drunkards, swearers, whores, liars, which the Scripture brands for black sheep, and condemns them in 100 places, set by all civil men that are but wolves chained up, tame devils, swine, in a fair meadow. They pay all they owe, and do nobody any harm, yet do none any great good, to plead for themselves and say, who can say, black is mine eye? These are righteous men, whom Christ never came to call, for he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Cast by all hypocrites, that like stage players in the sight of others act the part of kings and honest men. When, look upon them in their tiring house, they are but base varlets, formal professors and carnal gospelers that have a thing like faith, and like sorrow, and like true repentance, and like good desires, but yet they be but pictures. They deceive others and themselves too, 2 Timothy 3:5. Set by these four sorts, how few then are to be saved, even among them that are hatched in the bosom of the church. First, here then, is the use of encouragement. Be not discouraged by the name of singularity. What? Do you think yourself wiser than others? And shall none be saved but such as are so precise? Is ministers prate? Are you wiser than others? Did you think none shall go to heaven but yourself? I tell you, if you would be saved, you must be singular men, not out of faction, but out of conscience, Acts 24:16. Secondly, here is manner of terror to all those that be of opinion that few shall be saved. And therefore, when they are convinced of the danger of sin by the word, they fly to this shelter. if I be damned, it will be woe to many more beside me then, if so most should not be damned. Oh, yes, to most of them that live in the church shall perish. And this made a hermit which Theodoret mentions to live 15 years in a cell in a desolate wilderness, with nothing but bread and water, and yet doubted, after all his sorrow, whether he should be saved or not. Oh, God's wrath is heavy, which you shall one day bear. Thirdly, this minister's exhortation to all confident people to think they believe and say they doubt not but to be saved, and hence do not much fear death. O learn hence to suspect and fear your states, and fear it so much that you cannot be quiet until you have got some assurance that you shall be saved. When Christ told his disciples that one of them should betray him, they all said, Master, is it I? But if he had said 11 of them should betray him, all except one, would they not all conclude, surely it is I? If the Lord had said, only few shall be damned, every man might fear, it may be, it is I. But now he says, most shall. Every man may cry out and say, surely it is I. No humble heart but is driven to and fro with many stinging fears this way. Yet there is a generation of presumptuous, brazen-faced, bold people that confidently think of themselves, as the Jews of the Pharisees, being so holy and strict, that if God save but two in the world, they shall be one. The child of God indeed is bold as the lion, but he has God's Spirit and promise assuring him of his eternal welfare. But I speak of a number that have no sound ground to prove this point, which they pertinaciously defend. They shall be saved. Confident humor rages most of all in our world. Professors at large who think that it is a jest indeed that having been of a good belief so long, that they now should be so far behindhand as to begin the work, and lay the foundation all over. And not only among these, but amongst a number of sorts of people whom the devil never troubles, because he is sure of them already, and therefore cry peace in their ears, whose consciences never troubled them, because that has shut its eyes, and hence they sleep and sleeping dream that God is merciful to them and will be so, yet never see that they are deceived, until they awake with the flames of hell about their ears, and the world troubles them not. They have their heart's desire here because they are friends to it, and so enemies to God, and ministers never trouble them, for they have none such as are fit for that work near them. Or if they have, they can sit and sleep in the church, and choose whether they will believe him, and their friends never trouble them, because they are afraid to displease him. And God himself never troubles them, because that time is to come hereafter. This one truth, well pondered and thought on, may damp your heart and make your conscience fly in your face and say, you are the man. It may be they're better in hell than yourself while you are so confident. And therefore tell me, what have you to say for yourself that you shall be saved? And what saying have you gone beyond them that think they are rich and lack nothing, who yet are poor, blind, miserable, and naked? You will say, happily first, I have left my sins I once lived in, and am now no drunkard, no swearer, no liar, and so on. I answer, you may be washed from your mire, the pollution of the world, and yet be a swine in God's account, 2 Peter 2:20. You may live a blameless, innocent, honest, smooth life, and yet be a miserable creature still. But I pray, and that often, this you may do and never yet be saved, Isaiah 1:11. To what purpose is your multitude of sacrifices? Nay, you may pray with much affection, with a good heart, as you think, yet 1,000 miles off from being saved, Proverbs 1:28. But I fast sometimes as well as pray, so did the scribes and Pharisees, even twice a week, which could not be public, but private fasts, and yet this righteousness could never save them. But I hear the word of God, and like the best preachers, this you may do also, and yet never be saved. Nay, you may so hear as to receive much joy and comfort in hearing, nay, to believe and catch hold on Christ, and so say and think he is yours, and yet not be saved as a stony ground did, Matthew 13, who heard the word with joy, and for a season believed. But I read the Bible often. Yes, you may do also, and yet never be saved as the Pharisees, who were so perfect in reading the Bible that Christ needed but only say, it has been said of old time, for they knew the text and place well enough without intimation. But I am grieved and am so sorrowful and repent for my sins past. So did Judas. Matthew 27:3. He does repent himself with a legal repentance for fear of hell, and with a natural sorrow for dealing so unkindly with Christ, and betraying not only blood, but innocent blood. True humiliation is ever accompanied with hearty reformation. Oh, but I love good men and their company. So did the five foolish virgins love the company, and at the time of extremity the very oil and grace of the wise. Yet they were locked out at the gates of mercy. But God has given me more knowledge than others, or than I myself had once, and this you may have, and be able to teach others, and think so of yourself too, and yet never be saved. But I keep the Lord's day strictly. So did the Jews, whom yet Christ condemned and were never saved. I have very many good desires and endeavors to get to heaven. These you and thousands may have and yet miss of heaven. Many shall seek to enter in at the narrow gate, and not be able. True, you will say, I do many duties, but have you any real life or zeal? I am zealous. So you may be, and yet never be saved as Jehu. Paul was zealous when he was a Pharisee, and if he was so for a false religion and a bad cause, why much more may you not be for a good cause? So zealous is not only to cry out against profaneness and the wicked, but civil honesty of others and hypocrisy of others, yea, even the coldness of the best of God's people. Ye may be the four horse and the team, and the ringleader of good exercises amongst the men. As Joash, a wicked king, was the first who complained of the negligence of his best officers in not repairing the temple, and so stir them up unto it. Nay, you may be so forward as to be persecuted and not yield an inch, nor shrink in the wetting, but mayest manfully and courageously stand out in time of persecution, as a thorny ground did, so zealous you may be, as the like best of, and the flock most too, the most zealous preachers, that search men's consciences best, as the whole country of Judea came flocking to John's ministry, and delighted to hear him, for a season. Nay, you may be zealous as to take sweet delight in doing of all the things. They delight in approaching near to God, yet come short of heaven. But you will say, true, many a man rides post that breaks his neck at last. Many a man is zealous, but his fire is soon quenched, and his zeal is soon spent. They do not hold out. Whereas I am constant, and persevere in godly courses. Well, so did that young man. Yet he was a graceless man, Matthew 19:20. All the things have I done from my youth. What lack I yet? It is true. Hypocrites may persevere, but they know themselves to be not all the while, and so deceive others. I am persuaded that I am in God's favor and in a safe and happy state, since I do all with a good heart for God. This, you may verily think of yourself and yet be deceived and damned, and go to the devil at last. There is a way, saith Solomon, that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is a way of death. For he is a hypocrite not only that makes a seeming outward show of what he is not, but also that has a true show of what indeed there is not. The first sort of hypocrites deceive others only, the latter, having some inward yet common work, deceive themselves too, James 1:26. If any man seem to be religious, so many are, and so deceive the world. But it is added deceiving his own soul, So you may go so fairly and live so honestly that all the best Christians about you may think well of you and never suspect you, and so may pass through the world and die with a deluded comfort that you shall go to heaven and be canonized for a saint in your funeral sermon, and never know that you are counterfeit till the Lord brings you to your strict and last examination, and so you receive that dreadful sentence, "Go, you cursed." So it was with the five foolish virgins that were never discovered by the wise, nor by themselves, until the gate of grace was shut on them. If you have, therefore, no better evidences to show for yourself that your state is good than these, I will not give a pin's point for all your nattering false hopes of being saved, but it may be you have never yet come so far as to this pitch, and if not, what will become of you? Suspect yourself much, and when in this shipwreck of souls you see so many thousands sink, cry out, and conclude, it is a wonder of wonders, and a thousand to one, if ever you come safe to shore. So strive, then, to be one of them that shall be saved, though it cost you your blood and the loss of all that you have. Labor to go beyond all those that go so far and yet perish at the last. Do not say that seeing so few shall be saved, therefore this discourages me from seeking, because all my labor may be in vain. Consider that Christ here makes another and a better use of it, Luke 3:21. Seeing that many shall seek and not enter, therefore, he says, strive to enter in at the straight gate, venture at least, and try what the Lord will do for you.